back with Comics Talk Comedy. Jesse, how you doing, man?
Good, buddy. It's nice to be back. It feels new because this is a whole new studio.
Yeah, new digs.
I've never been here. This is your other radio station.
This is where I'm here Monday to Friday. This is where I do shows. Well, I produce shows out of this studio.
This is nice.
Yeah.
So this is really nice.
Yeah, it's a nice little courtyard. You got to see that.
I like that outside. Wish we could record by the water fountain. The waterfall.
That would be pretty nice. We get the external mics and whatnot. But how's everything going? It's been
pretty good.
About 3 months since we've
done an
episode.
Yeah, it's been a really long time. I'm glad we came back. So this is our first episode, you and I doing it new on this new platform.
Yeah, we're on the Mighty 1090's list of podcasts, which is exciting.
Cool.
You know, we're getting, you know, it ranges, but last week we got 250 downloads.
Cool.
Which is pretty good, because I've just been re-releasing older episodes.
I saw that.
So it's kind of like a new audience. I released, you know, some new, to get us up to date.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
Some of the old guests that you put out again were, you put Fahim out?
I put some of the people that are a little more accomplished. I put Fahim, Brian Scalaro, Jason Collins. Put Taylor, who she was on The Tonight Show last night.
Yeah, that's exciting. Did you get to see it? I watched it this
morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was it the 5-minute set she was running at the Madhouse and stuff?
Probably, yeah.
I thought it was a great set that I saw at the Madhouse, so I assume she did well.
It's interesting to see these people, you know, you've worked with, you know, doing big things like that.
I know. It's kind of nice. I mean, especially for a San Diego person to make it and not, you know, I like that.
Now she's up in L.A., but still, like, she grew up here, so she's definitely a staple down here. But
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so it was cool.
And Vicky both. I mean, that's really exciting.
Yeah, I've been seeing Vicky a lot. She's at the store just doing her 3 minutes.
So now she's preparing for her next, chapter?
Yeah, I keep asking. They don't know when it's going to be, because it's still the first round. So
how nerve-wracking.
It goes all summer, you know. But she was doing stuff that was completely new when I saw her running her set on Thursday.
Wow.
She Hollywooded me by accident.
What do you mean?
I didn't
recognize you or what? No,
well,
that can't be.
I was leaving the gym, walking to the Comedy Store, and she was walking her dog. She had her sunglasses on, and I go. She walks basically. I go, "Hey, how are you?" And she just keeps like walking. I go, "Hey, Vicky, it's Jeff." She goes, "Oh, sorry." She said, "I was just been running my set through my head." I go, "Oh, okay." But yeah, she was.
Did you say you see Bajan at the gym all the time? He never sees you.
He said he hasn't been going to the one I go to in a little while.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I had a funny gym thing the other day that I told him about.
Which was?
So I after the sauna, I try to just cool down now because then I'll just keep sweating.
What's your gym routine, though? You go in, you do what, Stairmaster?
I do the elliptical.
Elliptical.
Usually 65 minutes on the elliptical.
Oh, that's a long time.
And then 25 minutes in the sauna.
Okay.
So I do that, but
really sweating it out, boy.
Yeah, trying. So I was in the sauna, and I go and sit down on the bench. And this gym gives like free towels, so people just throw them all over the place, you know. So I see this towel on the bench, so I just knock it on the ground, don't think of anything of it. And I'm reading my book, and a few seconds later, lady goes, "I left my towel here so it wouldn't get on the ground and wet." I go, how the hell was I supposed to know? People throw towels all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, so she just puts the towel next to me and goes back to the hot tub. And at this point, I'm thinking, well, she was very rude. I'm not going to let her just be rude. So I'm thinking, do I want to knock the towel on the ground? So I kept reading my book and letting the sweat roll down my body.
What's the book you're reading?
At that time, I was reading Martin Short.
Oh, okay.
Biography. Did you see the thing with him and Steve Martin?
I didn't see it, but I saw that it exists.
A lot of the stories that they were telling on that Netflix were in the book, too.
Okay.
But anyway, so after about 10 minutes, I'm done sweating. But, you know, the whole time I've been wiping the sweat off. So
her towel? No.
No, I got the sweat all off me, and I took that towel, put it right on top of her towel, and walked away.
Oh, man. You're kicked out of that gym.
Yeah, so I wholeheartedly expected her to, like, be waiting, because I went and showered after, and she wasn't there.
She's waiting by your car with that towel.
Wow, but I carried another towel in case she was there and she wanted to throw the towel at me. I was prepared.
Wow. Yeah. That was really thinking ahead there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of gym drama.
Yeah, there's always something weird that happens. Whenever I talk to my mom, she always asks.
That's why I work out at home.
Yeah, no gym drama.
No, I don't want the gym drama. I don't like going in the locker rooms and going like showers where people are. I don't like sharing that stuff. It's gross to me. I mean, it's.
I mean, I go pretty much every day and I shower in there, so it's kind of just like.
I can't do it.
To be honest, I don't mind people seeing me. I just don't like to see other people.
Yeah, there's that.
That's even worse.
I mean, I used to go, you know, back in Virginia, and there's always like a really naked, really old dude, like Bob's joke, just doing jumping jacks in front of the mirror or something. You're like,
yeah, I used to have a joke about that.
It was
it's like the older you get, the more comfortable you are being naked.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Was that your joke? Okay, so it's like, you know, you're this age and you're like,
right, combing your hair and talking to people. Yeah.
Oh, that was your joke, and then doing jumping jacks.
Yeah. But
exactly.
I haven't done that in a long time. But,
Bob, by the way, speaking of Bob, he just released a new movie. Have you seen it, Bob Hanson?
No.
Our friend Bob Hanson, New York.
What's this one about?
Comedian. Oh, boy, what is this one about? My God. It's I told him, I go, this is bizarre even for you.
Okay.
It does have some stand-up interspersed throughout, but it's also basically the story is he's like the last Bob on Earth or something, and the dog Luigi is a major character, and then there's a Governor Monsanto that has there's
the
a whole
action
thing
action figures
it.
That he used?
No, it's live, but it's okay. It's just him and the dog. It's 30 minutes.
Oh geez,
and it's really weird.
Yeah,
and, but he has some really funny stuff in there. So
is it arguably one of the weirdest movies you've ever seen?
I think it's arguably the weirdest thing I've seen from him.
That says a lot.
It does. I mean, I even told him that. I go, this is bizarre even for you. And he's like, oh, that's quotable, you know.
Yeah.
But he did have, he has some of his stand-up in there, which I thought was really good.
Okay.
And you know, it's worth watching. But I'm just trying to think of, he had this one thing. I told him, this is really weird. He had this thing about science and how, he's talking about conspiracy theory and how, you know, science says, I don't know, it was something like we never landed on the moon or whatever, like, you know, but we, and this is about like sea salt. He's like, don't believe in chocolate sea salt. Like we have, we can't get the salt out of the seawater, but we have just enough science to ruin dessert. And I just thought that line was perfect.
That's
you know, just
one.
Enough science to ruin dessert.
Is
right
that
there.
Is that like a stand-up joke? Or
It was in a stand-up. And I, you know, out of the 30 minutes I watched the movie, that just resonated with me. I'm like, that's such a perfect.
It's a good
you know,
line.
It's a good. It's very Seinfeldian, I think. Just
enough
science to ruin dessert. I really like that.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I think, what about, I mean, you've probably done some shows. I counted, I've done 107 so far this year.
Oh, wow, you're counting them, yeah. I've been canceling them a lot.
Yeah.
I did one last night where I ate shit. I was at some brewery, the Protector Brewery, I think, in Miramar. And
that was with the triplets,
I was opening, I was supposed to do 15 minutes off top, and I was in a really bad mood. I had a really tough day. I spent the whole day with my boss, and it was supposed to be like an hour meeting. He shows up an hour and a half late, and then he kept me an extra hour, and then I had to drive him home. Basically, my whole day off was spent with my boss, and it was really, just really put me in a bad mood. And then, because there's all kinds of drama at work and stuff too. So it was kind of like the day you're supposed to relax from this was like a heightened stress day about work. So in any case, I don't want to make excuses because I just wasn't in a good frame of mind to do comedy. I had like canceled that week on the Comedy Store, and I just wasn't feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
So I went up there with the intention of giving it my best shot, but I mean, I immediately started getting heckled, and this couple was taking turns interrupting me, you know, and I just kind of lost it.
Was it like a kamikaze comedy show, or were they there for the comedy? Was
I don't know
cover
if
price?
They were there for the comedy. I guess they were, you know, they turned off the music, and left the TVs on, and there was no stage and no lights or anything, but we had a microphone that sounded terrible. And, you know, so all of those details, I'm immediately bitching and moaning in my mind.
Of course.
Like a bunch of students that showed up from Zach Miller's class that we had like taught as a substitute for, you know, I'm like, oh, great. So I get to get judged. Why can't you come see me at a club? No, you're going to see me open at a fucking brewery. So I'm already like, you know, really bad, you know. And then when I started getting heckled, I was just like, I say, hey, Triplets, you really need me to do 15 to 20? How about 5? You know, and I was like, I give up. I think I did 10.
Yeah.
You know, and I left. And
how did you get that show?
I don't know, and that'll never happen again, obviously. They'll never book me again. But, I mean, I think it was Friends of Gordon's, so, you know, apologies to him for disrespecting his show or whatever.
So you left right after?
Yeah, then? I just left. I wasn't going to be like, you know, I wasn't getting paid or anything, so I wasn't going to stick around and like, just have those students tell me, well, you could have done better, you know, whatever. I don't want to face the notes from, and Nikki's there with her new boyfriend or whatever. I'm like, you know, all these people show up to this bullshit that I don't want them to be there for. now I'm in a bad mood again. God damn it.
Sorry.
Comedy is such a fucking pain in the ass sometimes, I swear.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, you want to just, like, I wrote a new joke that I was excited about. I did it once, and it went well, and I was like, that means more to me than
of course.
Stuff. So, you know, so let me put myself in a different mind state. I did this joke. Tell me what you think. I just said, you know, I've been trying to date online and everything. Right. I went on Bumble. Because I'm trying to figure out what women want, you know, what women are looking for. And so I'm on Bumble where the women have to make the first move. They have to communicate with you. Mm-hmm. And so what I've learned that women want, what women want, is to be left alone.
Yeah.
Total radio silence is what they're going for. So I think that one hits. It's funny, too, because I talked to this girl recently. She tells me her inbox is, she has like 150 messages or whatever.
Yeah. And but she had to initially message them first.
I guess so, right? So what did you, like, message 150 people, and then you're complaining about it? Or is that Tinder? I don't know, but I'm just like, I got none, so I don't know.
Well, Tinder, you both have to match before you can even message them. But I remember back, a while back, I was on Bumble for not very long, and I remember girls messaging me, I'll message them back, and then nothing. It's like, what's the
point? I had
point?
That, too.
That's
I did.
So
I had
weird.
One girl message me, hello, and I was like, is this what girls go through? Do you know what I mean? That, like, a guy would message a girl, hey, what's up, or something. Like, that was the kind of message I got, hello, and I was like, oh, and I messaged back, and then
nothing,
but I'm still matched with her or whatever.
Right. No, I used to just unmatch them.
Oh, you
know,
can
just
do that?
The same thing with people don't respond to me on Facebook, delete, block.
That's frustrating. What I need to do is go out and meet people in the real world, but I hate leaving my house and be, you know.
No, I mean,
I have my cat at
you
got to
think about it,
like,
though.
Yeah.
Like, everything is done online now. So, like, meeting someone online is really not as weird as it was even 10 years ago.
True.
You know, because everything is done online, you know.
Right. And
pretty much everybody I've dated.
I'm surprised Amazon doesn't do dating sites now.
Well, you never know.
Put them right on your doorstep.
Yeah. Deliver them.
In a big box that my cat will love.
Yeah, that would be cute. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I think what one thing that I've noticed about women, like I've talked about before, is when I was younger, I used to try, you know, spend money on clothes and do my hair. And girls didn't like that. You know, they didn't like me then. Now I don't give a shit. And it's just something, like, I don't know, endearing.
About not giving
not
a shit?
Not caring, I guess. Because you put, I don't know, maybe they just feel safer with you that way.
Because you're not trying? What is their tact, though? Are they also not trying at all, or are they?
Well, I just believe that women know that they can get laid pretty much all the time.
Yeah.
So even if you're looking, it really doesn't matter. It means you need to find somebody that the girl is looking. So just because they're on these sites, some of them, it's just for attention. I don't think they're particularly wanting to meet somebody.
Interesting.
You know, so you have to find somebody that wants to date. And then if you want to date too, then it might work. You know, but just the same way I approach comedy. I just think it's always going to go bad. And then if it goes well, cool. But if it doesn't, then they're like, wow, that's what I expected.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of have to think about that with dating too.
Right.
But, you know,
I just kind of do the same thing I did last night, which is like I'm on there for 5 minutes and give up. You know, like this is not worth it.
I do that too. But I mean, Bumble is so much easier because Tinder, you can only get so many swipes.
Mm-hmm.
But with Bumble, you can just swipe as many as you want, which is the smart way to do it because then it gives the girl, if they respond, most of the time the girl responds, I was like, why did I swipe on her? You know?
Oh, no.
So then I just unmatch them.
Oh, gosh.
But, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but I got a lady that I enjoy.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Did you meet her online?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
You know, it's been almost.
What site was it?
It's Plenty of Fish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's a little bit older, and she has kids, but she's still.
Oh, wow.
She's young at heart. You know, I'm an old
You're
at heart.
Stepdaddy now, huh?
Yeah, no. Her kids are all grown.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, yeah, you never know, but I guess we should supposed to go back to comedy.
I guess. What'd you do Wednesday? You were at the store, Wednesday and Thursday, right?
Yeah, Wednesday and Thursday I was at the store. Wednesday it was at the open mic, and we've been having, like, I think we had 9 pop-ins.
But oh, wow.
It ended up only going until about 10:15, because, you know, you canceled, Bijan canceled, and Dallas canceled, so that was... And then a lot of the LA people
that don't really want to do stand up, those three are there, I guess, you know.
No,
it's a shame. Isn't
I know you're dealing with other stuff, you know,
yeah,
and
I'm always dealing with some dumb shit.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I go through my own things too, but you know, stand up's one of those things. I mean, unless you go through a show like last night.
I mean, I kick myself because I usually do feel better after.
Yeah,
I
it's
perform,
just like going,
you know,
to the gym.
Yeah,
you know, you're like, I don't want to go to the gym.
Then
but
you
once
go.
You do, and then it's good.
Right, if it goes well.
Yeah.
If it goes bad, you drive home from Miramar feeling even worse than you did on the drive up.
Yeah, but you're harder on yourself than... I mean, we're both doing that, you know, but I've just been... Like, Thursday, I should have probably bombed, but I just messed around because first two people didn't do very well.
I heard that you saved that show, actually.
Yeah,
that's what they told me.
Yeah, and I would say that. I said it that night because I'm pretty smart when it comes to stand-up. Like, I
as far
know
as readjusting to the circumstances.
And it just was a crowd where, you know, I went up third, so that's pretty early still.
Yeah.
But I think you need to just wake them up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you just go, you stand up, you do your jokes, it just doesn't go that well when you're that early into the show. You kind of have to, you know, it's one of those crowds where they're done clapping before halfway you get to this stage. You know, and when you do sets like that, you're like, okay, these people aren't used to coming to comedy shows.
Yeah.
You got to kind of wake them up, you know? So that's what I did, mostly riffing. I did maybe like 2 jokes, you know? So it was a fun set. I don't know how much, I got a good line out of it, which I used on Wednesday. Wednesday was good.
Yeah.
Which was like, I just got into it with this table, not being aggressive, but just talking to them. They were just like, They yelled something and I responded back, and then they didn't respond, which happens,
right,
you know, as you know, a lot. So I just said, you guys seem like the type of people that would cut someone off and then flip them off.
Yeah.
Which happened to me a couple of weeks ago. A guy cut me off. And
then he flipped you off.
Yeah. Because I wailed on my horn, but still.
Gotcha.
But no, he like reached, because I was turning to right.
Uh-huh.
And he reached all the way out the window to flip me off on the passenger side, which is kind of funny.
The other window? The passenger
side
window?
Yes, he reached out because I was turning right behind him, and he reached all the way out and flipped me off.
That's
I was
hilarious.
Like, you cut me off, you idiot.
That's great.
So, yeah, that was...
And it was Dave Wright.
Yeah, I wish.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I've been doing a lot of fun shows. I did the Ooh La La review with Bijan last Saturday.
I heard that went well. That's
yeah,
great.
It was fun. I thought it was a little tough for Bijan because he kind of...
Well, he's done it a bunch of times.
Right, and he just kind of went up first,
right,
you know? And
right.
I think that type of show, you know, there's so many horned-up guys that you got to give them a couple of dancers before a comedian because then they're thinking, what? This is what I paid $20 to
see? Gotcha.
So a lot of times they're in their brain like, comedy, what is this all they're doing, you know? So I had a much easier time because I went up a little later in
gotcha.
The show. But, yeah, it went very, very well.
That's
and
cool.
Had the photographer say that I was his favorite part of the show, which
that's great.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You just saw half-naked women.
He hates women.
Yeah. I don't know. He was Seb Tao, actually.
Oh, my God.
I haven't seen that guy forever.
I forgot about him. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was a fun show. I'm thinking we did the... We did the military show together. We hadn't done a show.
Which one? San Nicolas?
Yeah, San Nicolas.
Oh, yeah. Flew there. That was quite an adventure.
Yeah, that was something. I wouldn't do it again for $100 just because it's a lot for what it was. You know, in my mind, I thought it was going to be a much bigger show than a dive bar on an island where there's more sea lions than people.
Seven...
Yeah.
Military people in the audience.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was cool. You know, we got...
It always amazes me, like, that amount of effort and money to fly people out to perform for a handful of people.
Yeah.
But they need it. They're lonely on that island. But you would just think, like, that they would make an effort to get let's say there's 200 people on that island. You'd think there'd be more than 10 at that show.
Right.
You know?
And it was definitely over a 24-hour experience with driving there.
Yeah.
Flying, and then the plane was delayed a couple hours the next day.
And keep in mind, that was, I had gone up the previous month, and we got fogged out, so we didn't get to fly. So it was just the journey. It was just driving all the way up there and driving all the way back.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I took it as it was my first day off of the year, so I just tried to enjoy the day,
yeah.
You know. But it was pretty much...
It was interesting.
You break even with the day, taking the day off from work for me anyway. So.
Right.
It was a cool experience, but... Like
yeah, we did that. We did the showcase for the Seattle Comedy Festival.
Yeah, I guess it was Seattle and San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
Which I didn't know
about.
Got
into neither one of those. That's great.
Yeah, but I mean...
I thought I had a good set, too. I know we both had good sets, but I guess it wasn't...
Like I said, I think a lot of those things, it's the look that they're going for. You know,
yeah.
It's so much diverse. Like, I talk to Renee a lot. You know, just like diversity is like the biggest thing now.
Mm.
You know, I saw Variety release their 10 comics to watch. Two were white males. One was very, very gay. And one was known as, what was it, Sugar Mama or something. Mm. He plays a woman. Like, that's his character.
Nice.
So it's like being white male in comedy now. Like, it sounds like complaining, but it's 100% true.
Maybe we should switch to, you know, some kind of sugar action.
I think Sugar
Jeff.
Our best bet,
Sugar
really,
Stepdaddy.
To be honest, is to do the duo act really more.
Yeah.
And to try to push that, because that's diversity. It's something
right.
different.
That either is different.
It's two white males instead of just one.
One
white
of us could play gay.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do that. I don't know why we have to do that part, but if you want
extra
to do
diversity,
that,
you know?
But I think it's just crazy.
I think
know?
That's an idea that. The duo act is different. I didn't stay, obviously, but I think the triplets perform it all together. Although we only had one mic, so I don't know how they did that. But
yeah, Bijan said that he'd only see them do like 8 minutes, so I don't know how many minutes they were doing.
They're probably really mad at me then.
But no, they probably were doing longer than that if they were headlining the show. But
yeah.
I mean, they've been together a long time, so, you
right.
know, so we've kind of gotten good at that. But three seems like
that's, wow, that's crazy. Yeah.
That's a lot.
That is
you know,
a lot.
To share... Share the stage, you know, and to not talk over one another.
And to figure out who goes next, unless you've scripted the whole thing out. Like, for us, it's like you take turns. Yeah,
right.
I do a joke, then you bounce one off. But if it was a third person, how would we know who's supposed to go?
Yeah, they would definitely have to plan that out, I would think. A little more than we plan
they
that.
They must really plan it out.
Yeah. So there's that show, but it's mostly been at the Comedy Store. I did the store last Wednesday and ended up getting a show out of it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's at, not texting, I'm trying to look at the show.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's next Friday at Live and 30th. I guess it's a variety show.
Okay.
But this couple talked to me after the show, which is kind of funny because I was doing all crowd work. I mean, just new jokes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to get something like that out of a weird show.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
A show that I'm just kind of messing around, which I'm doing a lot at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
So.
Sometimes that sets you apart, though, if they think everyone else's stuff is so scripted that's kind of what I tried to do for that showcase that we did was, you know, when I opened, I did about three callbacks to other stuff.
Right, right.
And I thought, well, that'll at least show that as opposed to the most of the comics just doing their act that I'm trying to ad-lib some stuff.
Which, I mean, I kind of did the same thing.
I assume that you did.
And I figured they probably didn't like that. You know,
you
for a showcase, they probably want you to do your set.
I know. I guess you're right. I like to be myself.
Yeah, and me too.
That's the way I like to do.
I wouldn't worry about it,
That's
though.
Why it's so hard going on first.
Yeah.
I mean, as opposed, you know, many reasons, but for us,
yeah,
we generally like to call back a bunch of stuff the previous comics have done. So
yeah.
When you're first, there's none of that.
Yeah, yeah. So what I did the Tipsy Crow for the first time last Friday.
Oh, how'd you like that? I think that's a fun show.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
It was first time doing it. I got there way too early, you know.
I always do, yeah.
And because he said 7:30, but it really didn't start till 8. And then Mal opened headline where he did like 35.
Up top and then at the end as well.
No, he didn't do a set again at
the
end. No, he just did about 35 to open.
Okay.
And then Stephen English went up. And he was doing well, but he closed with this joke, which basically says, like, I survived the big C. I don't know if you've seen him do this joke.
I don't know.
But, you know, growing up, I survived the big C. And some guy in the front, like, stood up and clapped.
Wow.
And then the punchline is, yeah, I survived chlamydia.
Oh, boy.
So a lot of times he opens with that.
Yeah.
So anyways, I'm next. So I'm like, I don't want to address this, but I have to. So I didn't do it for... I opened pretty strong. I didn't say anything about it.
You didn't say I have chlamydia?
Yeah, no. I just barreled through it. Mm-hmm. But then I said, how did you feel about having to clap for chlamydia? And the guy's like, no, I was totally blown off. I just survived cancer.
Yeah, right.
The guy just got off. Like, he wasn't mad. I mean, he was in good spirits, but I mean, the whole audience is like, oh, God. You know?
Oh, no.
So I was like, very few times do I like freeze on stage, but I was just like, what's your name? Paul? Let's give it up for Paul for surviving cancer.
Oh, man.
So, that was, but I got out of it and I finished pretty strong. And it was nice because Sean Pulaski, she was on the show. She was like the headliner.
Uh-huh.
And she'd seen me work at the store and she was like, oh, my God, you're so funny. How come you never opened any of the shows I was on? And I can't remember, but I probably did.
You might have.
Yeah. I was going, no, I probably did. She goes, no, it was always Mike. You never got to open. So maybe if she comes back, maybe I'll reach out to her to do it again, you know?
Definitely. Now that we have this format, maybe we should, you know, I assume you still do hit up the weekend people to see if they want to
I did for a while, and then I kind of stopped because a lot of them didn't respond.
Yeah.
You know, and I just felt like kind of corny. And they're always like, well, can you come to the condo? I was like, well, it's not mobile.
Right, right.
So I can't really do it that way.
You do a call-in, but that usually sounds bad.
Yeah, we did a couple call-ins, but I just didn't like them.
Right.
You know, it just feels better to have them in studio.
Yeah, I agree.
But, yeah, I did the Madhouse at the beginning of the month.
How was that?
Friday, Saturday, and I did Sunday.
Well, you've been performing a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. Saturday, I got a little drunk. Because I went with my friend.
Okay.
So I wasn't driving, so took advantage of some drinks. And
that didn't go too good?
I went fine, but I didn't like it because I just didn't... I very rarely perform drunk like that.
Yeah.
And I just didn't like it, you know? And I'm like,
it's
I'm not doing this again. I just feel like the mic is always, like, drifting away from me, and I can't, like... I don't feel right, you know? And I just hated it, so...
I know.
But,
it's weird. I tried to drink last night, and it just made me sick. It was weird.
Really? When was the last time you had drank before?
Well, I drink all the time, but like I was kind of doing your thing. I was drinking vodka.
Mm. And, at home?
Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, you know, I'll try to, if I just drink this much, I'll be all right, you know? And I never got anything except for sick.
Really?
Yeah.
Like physically sick or emotionally sick?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a shame. I was like, boy,
that's too bad.
Didn't get any of the benefits out of this one.
Yeah, I've been...
I think it's, like, definitely quitting time.
Yeah, I mean, I've been cutting back a lot and changing my diet a lot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I have high blood pressure, but I cut back my drinking and I've been eating, like, basically just pasta and salads.
Yeah.
And my blood pressure is down, like, it's in, like, the 120s now, for me, it's great.
That's good.
For a while, it was in, like, the 170s, 180s,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I've been doing that.
And with salt, probably.
Yeah, cut back on sodium, because I used to just eat processed food, which is funny. So my mom sent me a package for my birthday.
Yeah.
And
I didn't even realize it was your birthday. You don't put it on Facebook, huh?
No, I don't like that.
Yeah, it's very secretive.
But yeah, she sent me like beef jerky and canned soup, and I was like, Mom, I appreciate this, but I can't eat any
of this.
This
is all salty.
Yeah, I can't. And it's stuff that I want to eat, and it's stuff where I was like, when I come home, because I'm going to come home in the middle of August, I'm going to eat all that stuff.
Hey, right.
You know, but I've been staying true to this diet, you know, I was like,
good.
I can't do it. So she's like,
so
well,
my parents are coming out in August, and you're going home to see your parents in August.
Yeah, when are they coming in August?
I think the middle August sometime.
Yeah, I'm like the last week.
Okay.
Like the 20th to the 28th.
Cool.
Trying to line up some shows, but this guy, like, has been dodging me.
Yeah.
There's like one show in my hometown, which I can bring people, and he's like, yeah, send me a tape. Well, I sent him a pretty good tape, you know? And it's been like 3 weeks, and he hasn't responded.
Hmm.
And I was like, I performed with Jordan, because that Jordan Heavy or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And the guy just never responded. And then I messaged him back on Facebook, because, you know, I can see if he sees my message. I was like, have you seen... He's like, well, I didn't get around to it yet.
Mm.
I was like, what the fuck? Okay. How do you not get around to it? How hard is it to watch a video?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, you know, when you're there the week of, you can hit him up again.
I don't care that much.
Right.
You know, I'd like to perform because I never do, and this one is in my hometown.
Right, right.
You know, so I figured, you know,
get some people.
I mean, how dumb is the guy? You know, obviously I can bring people. It's my freaking hometown.
Right.
So it's just like...
Probably just being lazy.
Yeah, comics are lazy, but...
Yeah,
so that's been going good.
Been writing new stuff as well?
Yeah, I'm always got new stuff, you know.
Anything you got we could workshop?
Yeah. There's one more thing that I want to talk about.
I'm doing the back room of the palace tonight.
Yeah, I'm at the both shows, I think, tonight.
That's good. So I'll see you over there. Hopefully I don't eat shit again. But
I did kind of a weird show in PB, at the Blue Door.
Oh.
This winery in PB.
Okay.
And it was like me, Chris Klauber,
mm-hmm.
and some black lady that was from L.A., but
uh-huh.
she went first, and I figured I was going to go first,
yeah.
you know, because we were all doing 30 minutes,
yeah.
but I had to go after Chris Klauber, which...
Oh, weird.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I can't follow him, but he's very, very high energy,
yeah,
so
yeah.
30 minutes of his animal noises and all
right.
that stuff, and then me going up as this dry
yeah.
comedian, you know, It was a little...
It's almost the opposite order it should have been.
Yeah, and I told Maria that before I went up. You know, yeah. it ended up going okay.
Yeah.
But he did better than me because he's just, you know, he's yeah. high energy. People love that stuff.
Surprised
you know?
They put him middle like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she did it on purpose, but I just don't think she really, you know, thought about it per se.
One thing we haven't talked about is the saddest thing that...
Yeah, I want to do that at the end.
You know?
Yeah, we'll do that at the end.
We'll do that at the end, okay.
One bad show that I did was The Lot in Point Loma.
Oh, yeah, I've done that a couple times.
That was pretty bad. Like, the comics before, there was only, like, 10 people there, but
yeah.
pretty big place.
Right, it is very big.
So, the comics before, right when I walked in, Al's like, you're going to get paid the same no matter what. I was mm-hmm. like, okay, cool.
yeah.
So, but it was, like, 30 minutes that he wanted me to do. I was like, well, light me a 20 and we'll see where
yeah.
it's at. But,
I had to do quite a bit of crowd work on that one.
Yeah, but there wasn't really even a crowd.
Yeah,
so.
I know. Yeah,
yeah that wasn't...
It's also very bright in there. It's very, and they're eating food and
yeah,
know, all that stuff.
It was
stuff.
Very ritzy.
Mm-hmm.
So the two comics that went up before me didn't even use the stage, per se. But
really?
I was like, I'm the headliner. I'm going to do...
Why wouldn't you use the stage? I don't understand
that. Well, just because you were pretty much 20 feet from the... There was only like one table
gotcha.
Of people. So they just wanted to be closer to them.
Oh, okay.
So I survived it, but yeah, that wasn't ideal.
That's a tough one.
But one fun one that I did was, was it this month? Valentine's was good. Have you done that one? The one in Spring Valley?
Yes.
It's kind of like a Mexican one. Restaurant
yeah,
kind of place.
I think that was fun.
Yeah, that one was cool. And then I did one, I guess it was a while back, Midnight Jacks. I did that at the beginning of, because I did the string of Comedy
yeah.
Heights, and
is
that's
that
their
a
new
Comedy
one.
Heights one?
Yeah, that's in a brewery in Oceanside.
Okay.
And it was pretty dead.
Yeah.
I'll have to say that. It was maybe like 8 people, and mm-hmm. it's a pretty massive place. But the 8 people that were there were good.
That's good.
They were all kind of friendly, and it was mostly just riffing, and I made fun of who I didn't realize was the owner
Ooh.
For most of my set.
Yeah.
He loved it,
yeah,
though.
Yeah,
yeah. He was like...
kind of like the Bay Bridge guy. He loves that.
Yeah.
You know, always yeah. end up making fun of Bay Bridge, and he's there loving it.
Yeah, I did that the next night, and it was pretty fun.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, it's just fun to do 30 minutes and, you know, clean
mm-hmm.
and just to test myself. And
yeah.
that was a good, because I don't get to do long sets like that very often. So
no, that's good practice for sure.
Yeah, it was cool just to say, yeah, I can do these 30 minutes.
Definitely.
You know, clean. So that was good.
Yeah, I like their shows. Chris Curtis is missing out on Maria Herman's shows.
Yeah, James Schrader says he doesn't do any of their shows either.
James Schrader doesn't do?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe because... he's not that clean.
Yeah. Well, I don't... Maybe he just didn't reach out, because they're all about reaching out.
Oh, okay.
You know, which was...
I think they'd book him if, you know... But
yeah, if you want.
They do ask him to be clean, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, even that lineup of that night that we did, that showcase, was kind of like a weird array of comics on
it. It was.
You know, it was like me, you, and BJ, and then that other guy, that Brian April, that had been doing it a while. Well,
yeah.
and Tony, but I don't think he was really showcasing.
Mateen Stewart, who I thought was L.A.,
yeah, he was L.A., and then the rest of the people were kind of super
Connie,
new.
Connie.
Yeah.
Lisa but, Gilbert. And,
right.
And I forget who else, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
Daniel Ekus? I thought he was L.A., too. Wasn't
yeah.
he there? Or I may be wrong. Maybe
I don't
he wasn't
know.
There.
I think it's just his hat was there.
His hat was there. Okay.
Andrew Tarr, who I think is... He's one of those... I don't want to say few people, but he's one of those people where he grinds and he's really getting better.
Yeah.
You know, he's. Like, I was telling him that night, I was like, you're getting really good, and, you know... Whether he gave a shit of what I said or not, I don't know.
Right. Missed out the OB Street Fair this year.
Oh, yeah.
Just had that on the 23rd.
How'd that go?
It's good. Jerry Marsh helped me.
Yeah, did he work do a double duty?
He was out there checking them wristbands.
Wristbands. Yeah,
I told him, I think it's time for a new sweater. I think that's the next thing we got to raise a few bucks and get him
a GoFundMe.
Well,
for a sweater.
It's tattered. Like the one sleeve is almost disintegrated.
Oh, I did
Jerry,
see that.
I think it's time to upgrade. Yeah,
did see that.
So I think maybe we should get him one.
Yeah, I got what did I get? I got lined up. I'm headlining Lestat in a couple of months.
Awesome.
I haven't done that since I recorded my CD.
That's great.
That was like
when it was over, 5 million.
Oh yeah,
in
it was
there.
Over 5 years ago now.
It was like Juvenile's album in there.
Yeah, I noticed it's 4 years on Thursday since we did the weekend before the first shows of our home cooked comedy tour.
Oh wow!
So it's been four years.
A while.
I can even remember when we were planning it in the Palace parking lot. So
boy, what a crazy thing.
Yeah, that was
a lot of work.
It was a lot of work
putting that one together.
It was a lot of work. A lot of work and a lot of stress, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, it was.
It was like,
definitely
we're
not a vacation.
Try to plan a full-on East Coast tour. You got to make flyers and events and bookings and everything for every single one.
And hoping people show
people
up
there
to sell stuff.
Hoping it doesn't get rained out like Connecticut and no one's going to show up. And
I don't think anyone would have came.
Trying to bring merch and sell merch. And oh, yeah, that was a whole thing, man.
Yeah. That was
we were lucky because we were staying with our folks all the time.
Right.
You know, if we'd had to find lodgings and whatnot, it'd be even worse.
Yeah. We probably would have made out better if we didn't do that Connecticut show. But, you know, it's all, you know, you live and you learn, you know.
Yeah.
It was definitely a good experience.
It was.
It was definitely work.
Yeah, it was work.
You talked to Lauren at all ever?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. You know, she's pretty busy with the kid and everything. I talked to Meryl more.
Okay.
Meryl and I went out to House of Blues recently, and she does like food reviews, so she invited me to join her, which was really cool because I got to eat for free, and then she wrote up this whole thing on the meal, and
that's nice.
She mentioned me in it a bunch of times, which I was like, why did you put my name in there? That was so
still watching Jesse eat.
Yeah, it's like, Jesse really loved the bread pudding. I'm like, hey, don't put me out on that. Yeah. But no, she's the best.
Yeah.
Supposed to come back to do one episode tonight in San Diego in August.
I was going to ask.
You know, so
just
we're
like a one-off?
That. It's a one-off, and then depending on that, maybe a full season after that, like a 12-episode
season. How do you feel about
that? I feel like we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, that talk about a lot of work, you know, as it was before, it was a lot of work writing, and I just recently got this new gig emceeing at Harrah's Casino on the weekend, so I told
Folly. That's every weekend?
Well, it's one Saturday of the month and then every Sunday, so one full weekend and then every Sunday, and so Sunday was the day I had spent all day writing for the show for Monday's episode, you know, like sort of rewriting jokes and just finalizing the script, and I basically told Folly, like, I can't put that much time and effort in on writing for this because of this new gig. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
And
I don't want to put out a product that's like really mediocre or something I don't think is funny or whatever.
Right.
So it sucks if you go into something unprepared. I don't really want to do a TV talk show where I haven't really spent a whole ton of time on the script and making it where something I can sort of...
Right.
It's hard enough, you know.
Of
it's
course.
Like hard doing interviews and making up funny. It's hard doing headline jokes and making those funny because they're kind of corny as it is. And there's a lot of times where you just know in your heart, like, we could have done more with that, or that could have been better or whatever.
Right.
But it's already out there and there's nothing you can do about
Especially
it.
Especially you guys didn't have very many writers towards the end, right?
We never have had a lot of writers, you know.
Yeah.
No, we haven't. And he, you know, Folly's intent on reducing the number of people involved even more. So, full shoestring style.
Right.
So we'll see. I mean, it depends on, I guess, how the format's going to go. He says that this season, if we do it, I won't have to interview the bands, which is was my biggest headache. You know,
you're probably kind of not the best interviews.
They're not a good interview, and I don't think they do that on regular TV talk shows. They just have the band perform, or they play a little game with them, or some kind of car karaoke, Jimmy Fallon funny shit, you know, whatever. But they don't sit down and do a full-on interview with a band because, you know, those people are used to expressing themselves through music.
Right.
They're not stand-up comedians
or performers
that want to sit on the couch and talk.
Mm-hmm.
So I had some of my worst experiences interviewing people with musicians who they're introverts for the most part, or they're just nervous under those circumstances. And it makes me nervous, and then the whole thing is weird.
It just doesn't go well.
And we did so many of them, and so many of them went badly, that it was like the one thing I was like, oh, I can't believe we're going to keep doing this. And so I don't know if he conceded to it or if he just, for time's sake, cut that part of the show. Mm. But that would be an improvement. Hopefully that'll be, we don't really have a permanent venue yet for it either.
Right.
So we'll see if there's like a theater or somewhere we can do it at. But
yeah.
Yeah. So sometime in August we'll have an episode and, hopefully some people come out and support it and see if it's any good. And if it is, I guess we'll keep going.
That's cool.
Trying to get picked up on Fox. So I don't know if he's... what's going on with that?
Yeah, you never know.
But since
the last time we talked, you have a new addition to your family as well, right?
I do. Well, we didn't talk about that on the air. My little Sir Meowsle.
I don't think we had that yet.
Oh, wow. That has been a long time.
Yeah.
Well, so I had rescued a cat that was on my back steps. Mm-hmm. I was working out with Alicia in the backyard, and I looked over, and under the plant, there's this little tiny black lump. And I pull it out, and it's this cat, and it's like skin and bone. I mean, mm-hmm. It's starving. It's just like fur. You can see its ribs out. I mean, it was the skinniest thing. So I knew it had been a stray for a long time. So I fed it some food, and we took it to the vet, and it wasn't microchipped, which I thought meant, well, it's a stray completely.
Right.
And so I'll take care of it. And I got a litter box, and I bought all this stuff. I spent all this money on it right away, like toys and litter box and food and everything. And then a friend of mine, like a couple days later, found a post on Facebook from like a previous month in an Ocean Beach page, and they thought the cat looked similar. So I reached out. The people came over. They didn't even recognize the cat because it was so skinny.
Mm.
But it has this little tuft of white hair, so they knew, that's our cat. So I had to return this cat, and it was heartbreaking.
It was probably tough.
It was hard.
Rollercoaster a couple of days.
Really had fallen in love. And you know what's funny is, you remember Zoltan's old joke about who rescued who.
Yeah.
So I used to make fun of that because he would say, like, it only goes one way. You know, you rescued the cat. It's not like the cat came, you're locked in prison on death row and the cat comes in like, meow, and, waves you out.
Right.
But in this case, it was a weird thing. Like, I had been going through some real emotional problems and I did feel like that cat rescued me.
Oh, of course.
Meaning that, like, I spent a whole day taking care of this thing. I've been like smacked my car, rushing it to the vet. I was so like worked up over this cat.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think that if you have something else to care about, rather than focus on your own problems so much, it changes things. It changes the dynamic of your depression. You know, like I thought if I could go help homeless people or do something to help other people, even animals like this, I'll feel a lot better. So after I returned the cat, I spent the next like couple weeks trying to adopt another kitten.
Yeah.
And I got lucky. I found this cat in Oceanside Humane Society, and it looked just like the cat I rescued. This tiny little black kitten. So, I brought him home, and his name is Meowsy, or Sir Meows-a-Lot. And he's the sweetest. He's the sweetest little boy. And it's so nice to have someone to come home to.
Of course. Something that cares for you.
Cares for
that
you.
That needs you, too.
That needs you. Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's why years ago I had two kittens that I took care of, And every day it felt like somebody needs me.
Even
now the neighbor has a cat, and every morning the cat's in the window, and I have a little interaction.
That's great.
Even that, it's a nice little break from having to look at shitty people all day.
I agree. I feel very lucky because my cat is now best friends with my neighbor's cat. Mm-hmm. Right across the way, the neighbor had a kitten who's grown up a little bit. It's very young, but it's full-size cat. And these two have become best friends. And
all they do
all day is fight and wrestle and play.
That's good.
And it's great. I feel better about that because when I adopted the cat, he had two siblings. And his two sisters got adopted separately, like right before. And I felt bad sort of separating them. And, he's going to be an only child.
Like
has no
Trump
one to play with.
For cats. Separating families.
Migrant cats.
Yeah.
So it's been really nice having him.
That's good.
Yeah.
I guess I
wrote a bunch of material about him, too, which is nice.
Yeah, I've been hearing. I guess I could talk about a couple of jokes.
Yeah,
ideas
great.
That I've been doing. I think you heard me. I did the rude thing. A couple of things that you saw me do about I had a dream where I was in the Olympics, but I came in fourth place, which I think is just so funny. Like, even in my subconscious can't even imagine that I could medal in the Olympics.
And then I went to Hometown Buffet right after.
Yeah, I mean, they can kind of go back to back, but yeah, then you're just doing that, and then this is kind of just a throwaway. But at this point, the only reason that I'd want to marry my girlfriend is to have an excuse to smash cake in her face. Which I just think is a funny thing. Because, your marriage starts out immediately with you both domestically violently each other. Like, that's the main thing. Like,
you're smashing cake.
Yeah. And it's like, why is that a thing?
That's great.
But yeah, that's a thing. And then, just the other thing is, I think you heard me, which it went great the first time. I haven't been able to get it to go as well. It goes pretty good, but it's just the Duluth self-drying pants. Like, what kind of lifestyle do you have that you're falling in the swamp, but you don't have time to wash your pants? And then I riffed on it, which has worked most times, is saying, like, Duluth just sounds like a safe word that would end the sexual adventures. Is Duluth!
I liked following you at the store the other day, because I was like, I came from my day job over at Duluth Shit Your Pants Company.
The other stuff is just kind of throwaways, which this was funny. Like, overheard a lady in the sauna just say that I just realized I need to shave my fucking legs, which is just a funny term, because it's like a very elegant thing.
Yeah.
Like, I should be shaving my legs, but it has to say fucking legs. Which is just
great.
I haven't even tried it, but I think that's a funny idea.
It is.
But,
I wonder
yeah.
if you could do something with the towel sauna lady, too.
Yeah, I tried that. It just kind of made me...
You're the villain in that story.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the bench is for people, not for fucking towels.
Right.
You know, especially because there's hooks, like, right
yeah, don't,
there.
I was going to say, don't they have somewhere to yeah. hang your towel?
Yeah, they had open hooks.
Yeah, you can dry it there.
And there was other towels, like, right there. There's no way I could have known. But
dumb.
Yeah, so it went okay, but I was just like, is she here? Are you here?
She's in the audience.
Yeah, one of these times. Gonna tell
waving
you,
a towel at you. Yeah.
And that was a good little riff, so I might keep trying with it. What about you? Get stuff?
Wave the white flag. I don't know. I feel like I told you this one already, that how much I've been spoiling my cat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at one point he had 3 different litter boxes, which was totally unnecessary because he always shits in the exact same houseplant.
That's funny.
And he really does, too, which is funny. I mean, like...
That's like Bob's joke.
I can't get him to stop.
About he washes the dishes.
Oh, yeah. I clean the bathroom, the kitchen, and the microwave, and my roommates, in return, they shit and all those things. That's great.
That's funny. But, yeah, I mean, that's another good thing about having the cat is, like, new material, because it's a new experience.
That's true.
You know, and that's what I'm trying to get into. I'm still haven't heard back from the guy that said he's going to try to get me on cruises, but...
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
I haven't heard back.
But you sent him a video and stuff like that.
Yeah, and he asked me for headshots.
Oh, wow.
So
that's so bizarre.
But I haven't heard from him in like 6 weeks. Huh. So I might reach out again.
Might
just for
as well.
There's no reason not to.
Definitely not.
Can't you know?
Hurt.
But it was Jason Chenny that gave me his contact. And I saw Jason the other day at the store. And I always enjoy seeing him. Cause
me too.
He's one of those people where I just rip on him because he's just so happy. You know, but he loves that. I mean,
He's so, such the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
I think there's something so great about that.
Yeah, because...
I'd love to just drink whatever Kool-Aid he's drinking.
I know.
You know?
Because he told a joke, which I thought it was pretty funny. He's talking about how he was talking to his dad about going to watch stand-up, and his dad just was like point blank, like, why would you want to laugh?
Dad said that?
Yeah.
That's great.
Which is a great line.
So he's clearly like the opposite of his dad. He's
I've never been really close to any Asian people, but I know that they're very like standoffish with their emotions. You
it
know?
Might be
so
a
laughing.
Cultural thing traditional, not,
right.
You know, not Americanized.
Yeah, but he was born here, so he's more, but his dad is probably... You know, he's probably born there, but has those values.
And,
and I was just talking to him after. I go, does your dad really say that? He goes, yeah.
That's
great.
Why would you want to laugh?
Yeah. And then I was just like, has your dad ever seen your stand-up? And he goes, yeah, just one time. I go, wow.
That's, how'd that go?
I said, well, at least you didn't make him laugh. Something along those lines, just to rip on him.
Totally.
He's definitely one of those guys that I always like to see.
I do, too. I think he's really very nice as well as funny. Last time I followed him at the Madhouse, I was just struck by how funny he was and how much he enjoyed what he was doing up there, and made me enjoy it. You know, I enjoyed watching it, following it.
Still has one of those crazy stories where he told us, like, at the beginning, instead of driving out to open mics, he would just go to the mall.
Yeah, he could perform strangers.
Do material on people at the mall. But
that's kind of the Coppolino approach, isn't it?
Wow, yeah.
To run up on fools. He's, you know?
Jason's a little chippier than
chippier. Oh man, that's funny.
But so tonight we're both at the Palace.
Totally
doing the back room, right? 9:30.
Yep, I got a headline the back room.
Well, hopefully that doesn't get canceled.
Hopefully it does. We'll see what happens. I don't think it will, but we'll see. There's other material I had. I think I told you this one. I was like gonna say how I've done comedy for 12 years, and my cat's, you know, 12 weeks old. He's already funnier than me because he's a headliner. He crushes. Like, he's got the timing. He's got the physical comedy. You know, for all people booking him, he does run the light if it's a laser pointer. So just keep that in mind.
That's pretty funny.
It's a little inside.
It's kind of corny, but it's funny.
It is corny. The other one I was going to do was, there was something about, someone had told me, like, cats are the best, like, antidepressants. You know, before you go on meds, get a cat. And I was like, I did, and I named him Prozac. The other thing I had was about dating stuff. I think I told you this one was, I went out with a girl who said she was straight edge. Have you heard that
show? Yeah.
They probably heard it then on the air, but I was like, what exactly does that mean? You know, is that like those genes? Are you like a flat earther? Is it a Mormon only into butt stuff? Define straight edge, you know? And she's like, no, that means I don't smoke, I don't drink, no drugs. I was like, this might not work out.
Yeah.
And the next girl I went out with was like immediately told me, I love cocaine. I was like, I need something in the middle here. I need like the porridge of human beings. Right. Someone that's like, you know, this porridge is a little too hot. This porridge is full of cocaine. This is a good porridge. So those aren't really that new, but they're new to the podcast. We'll see.
Yeah, it's good. Well, it's good to be back.
It is good to be back. I'm excited to be in our new digs, and it's a beautiful studio, and looking forward to doing it here.
We can keep getting some listens. I'm going to try to get a sponsor. You know,
That'd be great.
Something we get even $20 a week, $10 each. You know, something.
Even if you can't get us a money sponsor, get us like an alcohol sponsor not to give us alcohol, but a sponsor to keep us from drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
Can you do that? Is there anyone out there that wants to sponsor Jeff?
Now that we're not affiliated with WS, maybe we could try to steal Witch Witch.
Ooh.
Get some sandwiches.
That's a good.
I still have a gift card to Witch Witch, which I haven't got it for Christmas. That was my holiday bonus at work, a $5 gift card to Witch Witch.
They love you over there. Yeah.
Last year it was $5 to Subway. Doing well.
Get you that foot long.
Yeah. So, anything else you want to go?
No, just wanted to say, we haven't done a podcast since we lost our friend.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to sort of pay respects to him. Our friend Jimmy Wolpert passed away, and it was one of the saddest, things I've experienced in San Diego comedy, because I think he really felt like everybody's little brother, and he was such a sweet, positive person. He always looked forward to seeing him at the Palace, and I was struck by how, not just myself, but how so many people were emotionally wrecked over this.
Yeah.
And it made me feel good in a way that he had that much positive impact on so many people.
I mean, how many people, I was talking to James Schrader, and maybe he's one of them too, but like that not one person has anything bad to say about them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, other than maybe his parents, which is kind of bad to say. But
And that's the crazy and amazing, shocking thing was at that church, at the funeral, for them to look around and see the hundreds of people there, and they had no idea that he had that many friends or this connection to so many people. And when they came to that tribute that we did at the Palace afterwards, they
95% comedian.
They were blown away by that.
Yeah.
You know, and I talked to them, his parents, afterwards, and they were like, his father's very stern.
Oh,
he was
yeah.
like, that was a good presentation. Thank you. You know?
Yeah, no.
And his mom was really, but she was emotional, and she was like that. I love that. You know, it was really cool.
Right, because when I was getting in line, his dad for the food, and his dad was there. I go, Jimmy was a great person. He goes, enjoy the food. And she's like, okay.
Wow.
That was just weird.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that
mean,
is weird.
He was just one of those people. I mean, you say in the comedy scene. I mean, that was probably the one of the most devastating news I've ever had in my life.
It was really sad.
Especially somebody
it was really sad.
You only saw once or twice a month, you know, at the Comedy Palace, you know, and I'm going to be there tonight, and it's just going to be weird.
It's weird going there now when he's not there,
you know, and
he really did do a lot there, so they miss him a lot.
Yeah, of course. It was just devastating, you know. And
you bring up James Schrader, though, and one thing that I thought was like a shining light at that funeral was as we came out, he was standing with his little baby.
Mm.
And I don't know if he did that on purpose to bring the baby or if he just, you know, whatever. But I thought it was really good that he did. It was like a really nice thing to see as you're walking out of the sad thing, you know, to see a little baby in short. It's just to think about life goes on.
Yeah.
And this is the circle and this is how it works. But it was like a positive thing to see at the end of something so sad, you know.
Yeah,
I was really glad he was there.
And it's still like, I don't know, I was hoping I would get a little more closure from that.
Yeah.
But it's still like, I still think about him every day. And, you know, especially now that they're doing that thing where you can donate money to get him a bench.
I mean, Haley gave me this framed picture of him, so it's on my desk. So I'm sitting there smoking, like looking right into his eyes. You know, I'm like, you know, I see him every day now, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's a good reminder, though. I like having it there on the desk because it just kind of reminds you that you can have a positive effect on people. And if you're just nice and sweet, that's all you have to do. You don't really have to do more than that. That's plenty.
Yeah. You know? Especially I've had a lot of conversations with him, you know, he was a depressed person.
Yeah.
And most people wouldn't even have known that.
Right.
You know, and which I totally understand. I mean, he started comedy when he was 19 years old, you know, and that's something he probably always wanted to do, but his family didn't want him to do it, you know?
Yeah, which is so sad. I mean, I was so lucky I got this chance to do his act, you know, at the store. I did about 10 minutes of his stand-up, and then I think Russell or someone had filmed it, or Brandon, I forget.
Somebody did.
Potter, someone put on, I woke up and it had been put out.
I think it was PJN, wasn't it? Or one of the girls did. Too.
Well,
it doesn't matter. A couple
one at
people
the store,
did.
I think Brandon Potter or someone put it out. And so I wasn't going to put it out yet because I was doing the Palace the next night and I was going to film it there too. But since he did that, I thought, okay, I'll put it out as well and now I'll do different jokes. So rather than do the same ones at the Palace, which was good. So I'm glad he did that because then it forced me to watch more videos of Jimmy.
And that, like I said, that's stuff I'd never heard and
spent
very
the
funny.
Whole day watching it and enjoying it, which really was nice.
Yeah.
And I think I told you that. Having that project, having something to do was good. So,
keep your mind off.
Yeah, and to focus on him and positive stuff and his how funny he was. I mean, his jokes were hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And it made you think, why did he quit? You know, I'm sure there was reasons, but wish he hadn't. As you do it, though, so I performed the one at the Palace, the second one of jokes that you said you really hadn't heard. Mm-hmm. It was so crazy how as soon as I got off, as soon as I finished, I was like immediately sad again because it was like you are distracted by a project. You're distracted by focusing on something and doing something, which tells me that it's important to keep doing stuff. It's important to keep moving and not to wallow because as soon as you stop a project, as soon as you have nothing to do, then the sadness hits you again.
It just goes back to, you know, canceling on shows. You
I should have never done that.
You should just, but you going forward, you just... Don't do that.
I'll try, but it's hard. Yeah, you know, sometimes
I know.
Just don't
we both,
feel like
we both go through that stuff. But
it's
I
hard
went
to
through...
be funny when you don't feel good, you know. And
but you're very funny. So your half funny is funnier than most people. So you just kind of you also have to think about you're bringing joy to the people at these shows
and to yourself. I think
of course,
I always feel better if I get to have a laugh. You know?
And obviously last night sucked, but. In all reality, it's
my fault though, not their fault.
Yes and no, but some shows just suck, you know. But you just have to try to make the best out.
That's
of them,
it.
You know,
just try to bounce back.
But who knows?
But anyway, just to wrap up, you know, the thing with Jimmy that everybody loved him, and it was a really special thing, at least for us, to share that time with all these people and to have all these people come from L.A. Mm-hmm. and to see them there at this funeral and at the tribute afterwards. That was at least a positive spin on a horrible thing. You know, I thought
bringing those
people together, even people that had beef or people that hadn't talked in a while or whatever, that was all squashed for this. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the first funeral I'd been to since my grandmother, and mm-hmm. that was almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I didn't even go to my recent grandmother that kind of, I can't say caused my DUI, but I ended up getting a DUI
on
that day, which it'll be 3 years on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm reminded of that every day.
Sure.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, you know, Byron, he did a great sermon. I have to say that, your friend Byron.
the preacher at the church looked a lot like my Jewish friend Byron.
So it
was like, how did they get a rabbi into this Catholic church? Yeah, yeah.
But I even got the wafer thing, which I haven't done that.
I saw that. I was impressed by that. I thought, you know, he's going to give you the blessing.
Yeah, I mean, it was for Jimmy and for my mom is still goes to church, but I haven't done that, gone to an actual mass and same thing like 20 years.
Certainly can't hurt.
No, you know, it's just
that service was not enough about Jimmy.
Exactly.
For our taste, at least we wanted to hear more of a tribute to him, but I think we got that at the palace.
Yeah, we
afterwards.
Got that at the palace, but I remember as a kid going and probably I didn't like it because it was boring.
Yeah.
But going back to it, it just felt like a cult. It felt just too preachy, and it was like, it's all about...
The church was too preachy. I thought it was more like trying to sell you on the religion, which I thought, well, we're already in here. Like, you know, you don't have to sell us again. We're here, you know? I there were some positives from it, but I thought in general, I wanted to hear more about him.
Of course. Yeah. But, Jimmy, we love you, and...
Yeah.
One thing that I got is Ron Ripley, he bought a shot for Jimmy the day after it happened at the open mic.
Yeah.
And then...
when I went to the store, there was a shot on the bar for Jimmy.
Me and Cameron Frost had it the end of the night.
Yeah.
We both, like, took a little bit of it.
That's nice.
I texted Jimmy that night. I said, we had a shot for you tonight. Yeah, it's still, like, surreal, and it's like, I have him as my profile pic, and... I don't know if I'll be able to take it down.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, too. I took mine down because sometimes it just makes me sad too much all the time looking at it.
Yeah, like I was talking to Barbara. She's like, I have to stay off of Facebook. I just don't even want to see it, you know. But
Facebook's the worst right now, too. My God. There's nothing on Facebook besides racism and hatred. And I'm like, man, I hope the world isn't really like this. This is a terrible sort of mirror of the world.
Right. That's why... I'm on Facebook mostly for bookings, but that's why I don't have my birthday on there. That's why I don't like a lot of stuff. That's why I don't comment on stuff, because it just draws you into other stuff. It's like a rabbit hole. It's like Wikipedia. You start looking at one thing and it draws you to the fucking hellhole.
The young people are just using Instagram. They're not on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm not even on Instagram.
They don't give a shit about Facebook.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, because Mal asked me if I have Instagram. I don't know. I take one picture a year, and that's on my birthday.
But now that you've got a space phone, you might have
to. I take pictures sometimes. Like I show a picture from my prom.
It's kind of
funny. My mom found it.
That's crazy that's on there.
Well, I mean, it's not from this phone.
Right.
But my mom found them and sent me.
Okay.
But and for my sister's wedding. But, it's for my prom.
Oh, shit. Look at James Bond over here.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Why is your head so small? That's the only thing I don't understand. That's weird. Is it the jacket?
I don't know.
In prom, Jeff had a tiny, tiny head.
Yeah, I don't realize.
You see that? I think it's the angle of the phone.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But I had sex for the second time ever that day.
That day?
Yeah. It was the girl I dated for like 6 years.
Uh-huh.
We didn't go to prom together, but I had sex with my parents' camper earlier that day. And I was sad because I wanted to go with her. So it was a weird day, but I had a white tux. It
looked good.
Blonde tips.
Yeah.
You know, see, I tried. And
yeah, you tried. And
didn't ever get laid.
It sounds like it worked.
Nah. I mean, I had a girlfriend for a long time.
Banging in trailers and whatnot?
It was a camper.
Okay.
Not a trailer.
Single wife?
Yeah. So, that was good. And, well, it's good to be back.
Yeah, it's definitely good to be back.
But,
so 1090 AM?
Yeah, the Mighty 1090. That's the website that we have our podcast on. And I'll have about 38 on there. If I can get a sponsor, I'll put them all back on there.
Cool.
You know?
Yeah.
So
MeUndies, hey.
Yeah, man.
Listen up. I'll holler at you. I'll wear them undies, bro.
Yeah, I had to edit all the old ones to take out WS Radio.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Damn.
I kept Wade's intro, but the beginning where it's like doing the bam, bam.
Yeah.
You're listening to WF Radio.
You have to take out talk.
Yeah.
Talk.
Yeah, I took that out because we're not on there anymore. So I kept Wade, but now I'll probably just use music as intros and outros. But
right on, man.
All right, buddy.
Thanks for having me back, man. It's always good to do it.
We'll go back. Hopefully, we can keep it on a regular basis. And
yes. Let's have a good positive week this week. I'll be in Harrah's on Sunday. We're emceeing there, giving away some
the Palace
shit.
Tonight.
Palace tonight. Anybody wants to come hang out?
What are you doing for the 4th?
Probably just keeping my cat from freaking out from the fire. Fireworks, you know.
Maybe I'll go see you. Maybe me and my friend will come over. I've been trying to see you, but every time you're always busy.
No, I'm not that busy. I'm at home.
He just says no.
No. I mean, you know, just avoiding people.
Okay. I see how that is.
Come on over.
All right, buddy.
All right, buddy.
That's it. Comics Talk Comedy number something.
Something. 8 million,
I
think.
Close to 260. Wrapping up. Rest in peace, Jimmy Wolf.
Yes, sir.
Keep it going, your host, Richie Estrada, ladies and gentlemen, all the ones and twos. He is a filthy, dirty liar. I have never done a weekend show here at the Comedy Palace. I just work here. I run food, I bus tables, but mostly I pretend I'm a ninja who steals empty glasses and sells them on the black market for golden doubloons. Saving up for a hunting vest, you know what I mean? Plus 3 agility.
Yeah.
This guy plays the new things. Now, golden doubloons, ladies and gentlemen, I need to make money. You think I'm going to save the princess with an iron dagger? No, I need the sky sword. Costs money. I was always kind of a cagey person, you guys. I don't want to tell anybody anything that they don't need to know. Even when I was a kid, I was like that. People were like, Jimmy, what's your favorite color? And I'd respond, who's asking? Who's Jimmy? I've never heard of him. He went that way, purple, I don't know. Don't ask me questions. I'm also great at keeping secrets. My buddy Tom just told me that he's cheating on his wife, and I haven't told a soul. That's fucking good. Have you guys heard the one about the cowboy with eczema?
What?
Have you heard the one about the cowboy with eczema?
No.
You have an itchy trigger finger. I'll be here all night. Did you boo? Did you fucking boo me, bro? Boos are good. We condone oohs here at the Comedy Palace. Very anti-boo. Richie forgot to mention that at the top of the show. No booing here. We're scared of ghosts. That's how we do it.
Loving memory of James Jimmy Wolpert, May 12, 1991 to June 12, 2018. You'll always be in our hearts. We'll love you forever.